We are blessed that you have tuned in to Take Time for Jesus. We pray that you will be inspired by the message. Our goal is to preach Jesus to this lost and dying world. At the end of the broadcast, we will give you our address where you can email us and the P.O. box where you can write to us.
Praise the Lord. Good afternoon. Once again, we're glad that we can come into your homes or however you're receiving us. And to take time for Jesus, we pray that you have done so in the days that have gone by and even to this day. You know, when we take time for him, he'll take time to listen if we'll only talk to him. If we'll give him some of our time, and a lot of people said, well, I give him 10 minutes on this day and 10 minutes here. Some of them will give him an hour and a half on Wednesday and some maybe 2 hours on a Sunday. And the rest of the time, they spend their time doing whatever. But my friend, today we need to keep a constant look upon him and praise going up to him. Prayer without ceasing, giving him honor and glory as always within our heart to magnify him and to lift him up. And that's the purpose that I come to your homes or by however you receive us into your radio and all, that to entice you, if I can, persuade you to read your word, to study it, to bring forth the fruits of the Spirit, holy and acceptable unto God. We need to present ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, just a reasonable service. All the other things in this world that the enemy of your soul, the devil himself, the god of this world, as it's put in the scriptures, that he has enticed people by the lust of the eye and the flesh to do all sorts of things, and they leave God out. Oh, maybe you might say a prayer in the morning or maybe sometime during the day, Lord, bless me and my forward no more attitude that you got. But I want you to know, my friend, we're coming to the time that we need to concentrate fully upon the kingdom of God and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to be inspired by him and greatly give him praise, looking unto him to be the author and the finisher of our faith. Your job is not going to be, it's important to the fleshly part, but it's not going to get you into the kingdom of God. And all the other things, whatever you might be lustful to go do and to accomplish and get into your world and whatever, if you don't put God first, all this other stuff is going to vanish one day. And if you ain't got God in your life, where are you going to stand? You're going to stand in jeopardy without any hope, my friend. So I encourage you with all of my heart to pray, seek after the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Study the word of God and pray continually that God will be merciful to you and you can get your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Because if it's not there through repentance, calling upon the name of the Lord, you're not going to make it. I don't care what somebody told you. You can pray. You can pay the priest so much money and pray you out of purgatory. My friend Jesus spoke about the rich man. He was in hell, looked up and seen a Lazarus afar off, and he asked him that he might come and touch, dip his finger in the water and cool his tongue, for he was tormented in them flames. So if you wind up in purgatory, in hell, in other words, there ain't no escape. There's no way out. But the best thing to do is make reservation now to go to the upper and let God come into your life and sanctify you wholly by his Spirit and allow him to take charge of your life and lead and guide you into the path of righteousness for his name's sake and for the salvation of your soul. He's not going to do it unless you ask. He's a gentleman, and he's God all at the same time. But he's not going to tear your door down to get you to serve him. He just asks you to come freely, willingly, he'll give to you if you'll ask. But you got to ask. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for this opportunity again that we can come to the microphone and just lift up your holy name and give praise and honor unto the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and give you praise and honor. And thank you for this day that thou hast made, allowing us to share it to you, and the blessing that you have bestowed upon us and able to lift up the name of our Lord and our God at the name of Jesus, for there's no other name given. But we just praise you, and we thank you, Lord, today, and we ask that you would touch the ears of the hearer and the heart to believe that whatever that we can accomplish for the glory of God and for thy kingdom, that we can win souls for thee and for thy kingdom. And we just give you the praise and the glory for all that is accomplished. We'll give it to you in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Here's my wife. She's got something over there. Sister Sarah.
Well, praise the Lord. This afternoon, I appreciate each and every one of you that's tuned in to us. And we're not very popular, I know, but God gives us what he wants us to share with you. And so you pray for us if it's not what you expect to hear, because we do not sugarcoat it. Bring it right to you. And this afternoon, I don't know if you actually know the attributes of God, but I have a paper I get every month. It's called The Bible Friend. If you'd like to have it, just write to me and I can send it to you. But the God has two attributes. We know that the wrath of God. And in this age, when multitudes are given to greed and pride and self-will, the church is basically quiet about God's wrath. Instead, many church leaders ramble on and on about God's kindness, saying nothing about his judgment. How often in the past 2 or 3 years have you heard a sermon about the wrath of God? Just as the Bible points out that God is good to those who trust him, the scripture declares that God is terrible to those who reject him. In 2 Thessalonians 1:7-10 says, in essence, that the Lord Jesus will return someday in blazing fire and will punish or take vengeance on those who know not God and who do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and will be shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. God's wrath is not rage, bad temper, or cruelty. God's wrath is something which people choose for themselves. The person who rejects Christ prefers to be by himself without God, defying God's offer of salvation and at the same time of judgment. God will respect that human choice. Nobody stands under God's wrath unless he has chosen to do so himself. The Apostle Paul says in Romans 5:9, since we have been justified by Christ's blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? Now, the goodness of God is this attribute means that God is compassionate and gracious and slow to anger. He's unfailing in tenderness and forbearance. And Psalms 145:9 says, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. And several times in Psalm 107, the psalmist says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. God controls all that happens in the world. Every meal, every wholesome pleasure, every bit of sun, every night of sleep, every moment of health, and everything else that sustains and enriches life. All these are gifts from God. However, in Romans 11:22 reminds us to behold the goodness and the severity of God. God sometimes uses severity to discipline us, to awaken us, and to remind us not to fall into complacency lest we take his goodness for granted. Jesus reminded his followers in Luke 13:4 at the Tower of Siloam, which fell in Jesus' day and killed innocent people. Although it was a disaster, Jesus said this tragedy did not indicate that those victims were worse sinners than the people who lived in Jerusalem. No, Jesus said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish, in Luke 13 and 5. The lesson to be learned from that kind of disaster, Jesus said, is that death is coming to all of us, and all persons need to repent and receive Christ as their Savior. We don't know why disasters hit certain people, like tsunamis, the hurricanes, the earthquakes, but we do know that those disasters should push all of us towards repentance and toward doing the works that God commands us to do. These are some of the essential qualities, the attributes of the true and living God who has revealed himself in the Bible. And I urge you this afternoon to read your Bible. There's things in there where God is good, but he's also takes vengeance on those that don't know him. And as we're in the last days, I urge you to turn your life over to the Lord this afternoon. Let him take control, because we do not have the promise of tomorrow. We do not have the promise of our next breath. Today's the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. And if you would like to help us, we would appreciate it. And you can send us to Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. Or write to us, email us. We'd appreciate it very much. Let us know that somebody out there is listening. But may God bless you. And Jesus is Lord.
Praise the Lord. Again, we're just pleased with the way that God has blessed us and helped us in the days gone by. We're looking forward unto him to preserve us at his coming, as he said he would, and that we will rejoice with him forevermore. My friend, today that God spoke to Ezekiel there at one time, and he told him, he said, "Son of man, I've took you out from amongst your people, and I made you a watchman on the wall. And if you would tell the people when the sword comes upon them and they that they can flee and they can be saved, then good. But if you don't warn them, in other words, and they taken in their sins and die in their sins, their blood will be required on thine hand. My friend, today, at our desire is our heart is to warn you about the things that is to come, and we're living in the last days, and we need to take heed to what the Word of God says. I don't care what nationality you are, if you're whatever, and whatever part of the world you came from, there's only one way into the kingdom of God, and that's through the door, and Jesus declares that He is the door. He declared it to the people of His time into the Jewish nation and tried to tell them, but they rejected Him, and they were broken off, my friend. Natural branches were broken off from the real olive tree to where you and I could be grafted in. So you and I cannot boast against it, because he that was able to break off the natural branch can also break us off because we're grafted in. So we've been grafted in to have a fellowship with Christ Jesus. We've been brought in to where He that Israel is a part of the church of the living God today. And we are grafted into that, being joint heirs from the promise of Abraham right on down to this day. He said, out of Abraham's seed shall all nations be blessed. But all nations have not come to the willingness to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And some of them is going to different ways and different names they call upon, idols and this one thing or another. Some of them got somebody over there that sits on a white throne with through some golden cherubims there and call Him Holy Father. But my friend, it ain't but one Holy Father that's ever been made or ever come in existence, and that's God Himself. Man is not holy. I don't care what part of the world he comes from or who he declares that he is. He is not holy. The only holiness about man is that which abides in his heart and the Spirit of God that bring him forth and make him holy. That's the only place that he can, the only way that he can be made holy, pleasing unto God. Because He said to present yourself as a living sacrifice. These people is not presenting themselves as to nothing but unto idols or mankind. And if you got the preacher religion and you can't hear another preacher preach except you be a listen to your special man, then you need to get on your knees and repent, my friend. I don't care who you are, where you come from, what denomination you belong to. Christ is the head of the church, not the man. Jesus Christ is the head of the church, as man is the head of the woman, and that we should be obedient to Christ. Christ gave His life for the church because He loved it, and as a man should love his wife and be able to give his life for her if it becomes necessary. But I want you to understand that in God's sight, we are all made equal. There's no respect of person with Him, whether you come or whatever your nationality is, creed, or denomination, or whatever. You can belong to several different denominations, but if you ain't got your name on the Lamb's Book of Life and repented of your sins and been born again and washed in the blood of Jesus and took on the name of Jesus in baptism, my friend, you need to do so, because your religion is in vain. Seeking after the kingdom of God with your whole heart and not being carried away by every wind of doctrine that comes down through the line, and you sending this and sending that, and you getting all involved in this. I heard back some years ago, as a preacher come along and said that you could buy a little vial of water from him for a love offering of so many dollars. It come out of the River Jordan at the very spot where Jesus was crucified. Honey, that water's been long gone. And I don't know if anybody knows the exact spot where he was baptized at, but you could have went down to any old river. The Alabama River looked just like it. But my friend, I'm not criticizing the thing about the baptism of Jesus in the River Jordan, but I uphold it. But my friend, when you go to selling these little things and claim it, you can't, it's not for sale, but you can't get it without a love offering, then what's the the difference in selling it and everything. He lied to you to start with. And all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. I don't have nothing to sell you. I'm not here to try to promote myself. I'm here to try to lift up that blessed name of Jesus. And he said, he told him on the day of the last day of the feast, he said, any man that thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. You can come and buy without money, without silver and gold. You can come and just ask and receive freely that gift of life that he has to offer. I can't give it to you, my friend. I can't sell it to you. There's no amount of money that could be required that you can buy eternal life. It's got to come through Jesus Christ. And you, in order to receive it, you got to repent and be godly sorrow of your sins and turn from your sinful ways and get your eyes upon the Lord and not upon the arm of flesh and seeking after the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then you can have that eternal life with Christ Jesus only by being born again. To know ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Some people, they ain't ashamed to say Holy Ghost. And the Bible is full of it, the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. But I want you to know that they got ashamed of it, seem like, in these last days, and they call it the Holy Spirit. Well, it may be all speaking about the same thing, but he's still the Holy Ghost to me. That's what they received upon the day of Pentecost, when it came as a rushing sound, a rushing wind, and clothing tongues of fire set upon each, and then they spake as the Spirit gave them utterance, and they received the Holy Ghost. It was a promise that the Lord said he would send them there. He said, I'll go away, but I'll send you another comforter in my name, and he will come to you. I, my friend, today, you got to realize that that Spirit of God has got to dwell in you. The hope of glory, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That is the Holy Ghost of God that to come in you, to help you. He said that you didn't need a man to teach you and to guide you or lead you, but the Holy Ghost would teach you in all things what you should need to know. He'll teach you the truth about God if you let him. You can go to all of your Bible schools and your seminars and all them things, and you can learn whatever that man teaches you. But if you ain't let the Holy Ghost teach you nothing, that man taught you something other. He may give you the unction to know how to quote scriptures and these things and one thing or another, but he cannot do for you what the Spirit of God can teach you. Paul didn't go to no seminar school, but he was a well-educated man. But what he got from God through the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, was through revelation, not through the thing that which he went to a school to learn how to preach behind another man. But he learned it through revelation, and that God gave him the Holy Ghost when he was out in the wilderness after he had been converted and was baptized. My friend, today, baptism within itself won't save you, but it's a part of the thing of salvation. Jesus told John, he said, you baptize me, for it is to fulfill all righteousness, everything. John said, I need to be baptized of you. But my friend, today, without baptism, it's not to fulfill the righteousness of God. It's got to become according to the scriptures, not from what some man or somebody has come up and laid a form or a foundation out there, and through their doctrine or through their way of denomination or whatever it is. And a lot of them has got it in their mind that you got to dress a certain way, you got to look a certain way and everything. But we were just speaking just about a little bit ago, a lot of your pictures that portray Jesus as being a real handsome looking man, but the Bible said he was very comely, and he was common. He could walk amongst the crowd and get lost in it, because he just looked like just an ordinary person. My friend, today, it ain't your looks that's going to get you there. It's what's in your heart. Cleanse your heart by the Spirit of God, and He will sprinkle clean water upon you, as He told the house of Israel. He told them He was going to destroy them because they had went into idolatry. They had brought forth, Solomon brought all of those people from other countries and brought their gods in with them and put the people in there in idolatry. And God spoke to Amos and told him, He said, smote the doorpost and it would shake. And He said, let them know I'm going to destroy him, in other words. And He done that. House of Israel was brought forth and scattered all over the world. But He said in the last part, He said, I'm going to bring them together again, and I'm going to place them back in their land, and they will not never be removed again. And He's done so. Brought them from all the nations. He said to the north, give up. Hold not back to the east, the west, and the south. Send my people. And they came. Oh, there may be a few of them that's still holding out, but my friend, they all that's going to come, that God, the Spirit of God, is moving them, and they'll go. But my friend, today, He's going to bring His children into the kingdom there, about back where they was supposed to been, but because of their idolatry, because of their unbelief, and because of sin in their lives, has got them scattered around like grain scattered out. But He said, didn't a grain, not even a kernel fall to the ground. He knew exactly where they were at. I've heard a preacher said, that Peter and all of them supposed to go to the lost tribes of Israel. They was never lost, my friend, except in sin and idolatry. Just as you being a Gentile under the sound of my voice, if you don't know Christ Jesus as your personal Savior, if you had not repented, you're lost in sin. But yet and still, there are many people who may know where you're at. But my friend, today, Jesus is the only way we're going to be cleansed, receiving of His Spirit. He died for us. His blood was shed for us. He paid the sin debt. He became sin for us, but He nailed it on the tree. And He died for us, but He was buried and He rose and He's alive forevermore. He's not in the tomb as some of these other gods that possess these prophets and one thing or another. They're dead and gone, and their bones are still in the tomb where they was buried. But Jesus came forth. It was not beholden to Him to see corruption. He came forth on the third day, the fourth day, the body just starts to decay and rot, but He was arose on the third day. He didn't see corruption, neither was it there to be left into the grave there. He came forth. He's alive forevermore. He's alive today. Why I know? Because I feel Him in my soul. Talk to Him several times today. I know He's alive because He lives, I live, and you also can live. My friend, He's the Prince of Life and the Prince of Peace. The Prince of this world, the devil, would like to destroy you in hell. And he will if you don't repent and receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You'll meet that old boy they call the devil, but he's going to be cast into the same place, and he ain't going to be no better off than you are, and you ain't going to be no better off than he is. Because the Bible says that He's going to cast the devil and all the false prophets and all them that sin into hell. That will be the last judgment. My friend, and you have a right now, if you still got life and breath in your body, you have the opportunity to repent and come and let the Lord Jesus Christ come into your life and escape the destruction of hell. Otherwise, you're going to go down on that elevator into hell, and it ain't no return. It's just a one-way trip. My friend, it ain't no middle in between. The Bible speaks nothing about in between place. It says heaven or hell. And when you get into one, you get to heaven, you ain't going to want to leave. You go to hell, you'd like to leave, but you can't. So no priest, you can pay all your money you want to the priest, and he can say how many Hail Marys he wants to, but when the finality comes of it, and he's liable to fall in there and be right in the hell praying to Mary, and you still be locked up in hell. So where are you going to come to? The only way that you can escape is to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and repent from your ungodly ways. Turn to Him and accept Him as your personal Savior. It don't make no difference where you're Jew, Gentile, wherever you come from. God has no respect to person. The Jew was once, Israel was God's chosen people, the Hebrew nation, in the first start. But they were broken off that you and I could be grafted in as a wild olive branch, made joint heirs with them in Christ Jesus. They were broken off because of their unbelief. Are you going to be cast into hell because of your unbelief? That's what will happen, as much as it will be for them. They got to come by the same way that any person come. Jesus said, I am the door and I am the way. They got to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, same as anyone else. But we are all joint heirs in Christ Jesus, because God spoke to Abraham years ago when He told him, when He brought him out from amongst all of His people, and He said to go into a place that He would show him and He would give him that for an inheritance. But He said, out of your seed shall all nations be blessed. Well, we know that how Sarah got impatient and had Abraham to go into there to Hagar, and Hagar brought forth a son. His name was called Ishmael, and it's been held for Israel ever since, because he claims to be the firstborn, but God did not recognize him to be even a part of the kingdom of God whatsoever. He said he would prosper, but he'd be a wild man, and honey, they are that. But I want you to know that Jesus told Abraham, that God told Abraham to take your only son, Isaac, into a place that I will show you upon the mountain there, and offer him up to me as a burnt offering. Some of these preachers have got it down to wherein that the Bible says that Abraham took him there. He had the wood and he had the fire and all. And Isaac said, Father, he said, here am I. He said, we have the wood. We got everything. But where is the lamb for the sacrifice? Now, I want you to know, he said lamb for the sacrifice. Abraham said, God will prepare himself a lamb for the sacrifice. But when Abraham was about to take that final stroke upon Isaac to offer him up as God had said, the angel of the Lord stopped him. And he looked over and he seen this full-grown ram caught in his horns in a bramble bush. And he offered him up in the place of Isaac, my friend. It was not the Lamb of God that'll take away your sins. Oh, it was a ram that was offered up to a God in the stead of Isaac. But I want you to know, when Abraham told him, he said, God will prepare himself a lamb for the sacrifice. The Lamb of God came upon the shores around there on the River Jordan there one day. And John said, as a forerunner of Jesus Christ, he said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Now, you tell me, some of these people just went to behind the seminar and learned how to preach behind the tomb of a dead God. Now, tell me, is the scripture true or what they say? That ram took Isaac's place, but that Jesus, the lamb slain from the foundation of the world, took yours and my place upon Calvary's cross. It was His blood that bought your salvation, not of your own. Your silver and the gold would tarnish and be done away with. But if you repent and give praise unto the true living God, turn from your wicked ways and turn unto Him, and He'll sanctify you by the Spirit and cleanse you. Being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. What's wrong with the Holy Ghost? Some of you proper preachers out there have been to school and educated down through your years and everything. You call Him the Holy Spirit. Well, He's the Holy Ghost in my book. That's all right. I guess it means the same thing, but nevertheless, let's do it what the Word says. He calls Him the Holy Ghost. But my friend, we want to realize that God's word is truth. It's going to be that which we're going to be judged out of. The Bible says, Revelation said there was a book open. And another book was open. And they was judged for the things out of that book. But then that Lamb's book of life is open. And if your name is not found there, you're going to be cast into outer darkness where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. So it's your choice. It's just like it's mine. It's my choice and your choice. We can choose to serve the Lord with our whole heart, or we can choose to live like the world would have you to live, do your little thing and everything. But when it comes to time to stand before the King of Kings, and when he don't find your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, it's going to be too late. As it was in the days of Noah, when the rain began to fall and the ark's door was shut, and it began to lightning flash and the thunder roared and the rain began to pour, it was too late. They were all carried away in the flood. Only Noah and his family got saved. 8 souls out of the flood. Oh, I hope there'll be a little more than that that saved out of the coming of the Lord. But I want you to know, friend, that the righteous scarcely make it in. Where will the sinner, the ungodly, appear? Right. You ain't got no room for this and that and dilly-dallying around and have your preacher religion or your this and that, the isms and schism. We got to make it right the first time, because it ain't going to be no second go-around. Oh, my friend today, listen to me. Oh, I'm just telling you what God's laid on my heart. What the Word of God said. He said he was going to judge the world, and them that righteous, they'll be righteous still. As a tree falls, so shall it lie. If it falls in corruption, it's going to lie in corruption. There ain't going to be no salvation to it if it dies and goes into corruption. If it falls in righteousness, it'll raise in righteousness. When that time of the sound of the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ shall rise, you notice that it says the dead in Christ shall rise, and them which remain to be alive shall be changed. Them that dead in Christ shall raise from corruption to incorruption. Them that are alive and remain will be changed from mortal to immortality. And he said they'll be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and there they shall forever be with the Lord. It's your choice, just like it's mine. I can't do it for you, and you can't do it for me. It's an individual thing. God used to chastise the fathers for because of the sons' sins and everything. Oh, I want you to know, but he called every man to repent. His blood will be on his own head, not on somebody else's. Oh, if you'll recognize that God told there that when he spoke to the people, the sons of God came up before God. The devil came also there at the time of Job. And God said, have you considered my servant Job? Is not he perfect and upright in every way? He don't like evil. He avoids evil. And he goes around and he tries to do what's right. He even offered up sacrifices for his children just in case they done something other that was not pleasing to God. Devil said, you got a hedge about him. I can't touch him. Take the hedge down and I'll make him curse you to your face. Oh, my friend, today the Spirit of God has put a hedge about you. He raised a standard up against the wiles of the devil and help you to be an overcomer of the fierce darts that he shoots at us and claims that he is this and he's that if you listen to him. But you got to first come to him. You got to have him within you. You can't just hope it is and not have him. Your hope is in Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. My friend, you got to have something in you before you can lose it. But he said that the church of today has come to be there. When he spoke to him in Revelation first, he said, you've left your first love. You didn't lose it, you left it. If you'd have lost it, you wouldn't know where it was at. but you left it. So it's time for you to turn back again and call upon the name of the Lord. Repent. Come back to your first love, which is Jesus Christ. He's your first love. He loved you so much he died for you. There's no other man loved you enough that he would die for you. Oh, there's the Bible says scarcely for a righteous man, a good man, one might die. But my friend Jesus died that the world could have salvation. But the world has went to hell in a handbasket because of a lot of preachers are preaching this and preaching that. But the destruction that God has spoke about is going to come, and it's right at the door. It's time to get right, my friend. It's time to put all of this here foolishness aside and get your heart right with God, calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and repent of your sins and turn from your sins. You can't go to the altar today and go back out there and associate with the same things you've been going on today and expect to make it. If you've been drawn out from all this here stuff, he's calling us out from the sins of the world and everything to cleanse you, to make you right. And then you turn around and go back in. It remains no more sacrifice for you, my friend. Jesus ain't going to come and die again for you. He died once for us, but he ain't going to come again. It was a Jewish tradition that when you were invited into a place of for dinner or something or other, when the people came and they ate the meal, and when that person taken that napkin and crumpled it up and laid it in its plate, it was when I was pleased and I'll come again. But if he folded that napkin and laid it out to the side of his place, then you don't need to ask me no more. I ain't coming this way no more. And that's what they found in the tomb. The napkin that was on Jesus' face was folded and laid separate from the rest of it, meaning I am not coming this way again. My friend, so you better get it right now. There remains no sacrifice for them that turn their hearts to stone against God, turn back into idolatry, and that's what the world can offer you is idolatry. Sin is an idolatry. It's not Christ-like. You need to study yourself. Study the Word of God for yourself. Don't take my word for it. Take the Word of God for it. I just tell you what it says. It's up to you to believe, to read, and receive it. God ain't gonna make you do it, honey, and I can't. He won't, but the finality of it is that when he says, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, you might have then, you'll probably wish you had her. But it'd be too late.
Too late.
He said, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. There's nobody going to jump up and say, hey, we want a new trial. It's all over with. It's gone. You done departed. You went on the downward heel stroke, fall right into the place that was prepared for the devil and his angels. Hell, it's the Bible calls it. It said it was prepared for the devil and his angels. But it's enlarged itself that whereby that it can receive all of them as willing to go to make accommodations for them. I don't think your accommodations ain't going to be like the Waldorf Motel, though. It's going to be hot down there. No air conditioner, no water. Oh, and you ain't going to have no air conditioner. You ain't going to have no water bed to lie on either, my friend. It's going to be hell and torment forever and ever, as the scripture says, weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Don't believe me. Don't take my word for it. Read the Word of God. If you can't, you won't believe me, you probably won't believe what the Bible says because you've been indoctrinated with false teachings and said, oh, you fall into hell, you burn up, and that's it. That's the end of it. Bible didn't say that. He said that the smoke of their torment would go up forever. And there they would be for eternity. Eternity is long, my friend. Ain't no end to it. But them that love God and his appearing and have come to him and got repentance of the sin and been cleansed and received of his spirit, baptized in his name, entered into the kingdom of God where there's joy, peace, and love forevermore. For eternity with the benefits of God has promised them right there, all for eternity. Think about it. If you want to go to the place that was prepared for the devil and his angels, God will let you go, but it's not his will that you should, but it's his will that all should repent. But it's up to you. You can't run from God. You read the book of Amos there, and you'll find out that you couldn't run from him. And many of the other places. He even said, if you run from him and get down and there and get into hell, there he knows where you're at. If you even hide in the depths of the sea, he will command the serpent to bite you. There's no hiding place, my friend. You can't get out of the presence of God. Jonah tried it. He wanted to go from the presence of God, and because God told him to go to Nineveh and preach to a people over there and tell them he was going to destroy them if they didn't repent. It was a wicked nation. Them people thrived by tormenting other people and robbing and killing and everything. They thrived off of it. But God gave them an opportunity and sent Jonah. But Jonah wanted to shirk his duty. He wanted to go and get out of the presence of God, so he got him a boat. And he was going to go to Tarshish. But I want you to know, when he got out there, God sent a wind after there and started capsizing the boat. All the people was there, cast off all the stuff that was on the boat, but still it was in jeopardy. And he said, let every man call upon his own God that we perish not. And Jonah was asleep down there in the boat. He woke him up and said, call on your God. Jonah said, well, if you cast me out, the calm will become to you. And it did. But God had prepared a great fish. And Jonah went down into the belly of the fish. And he said, in the depths of hell, in the bottom of the mountains, he cried out unto the Lord, and God heard him. The fish spewed him out on the banks. And Jonah went into Nineveh, preaching that the Lord was going to destroy it unless they repent. And oh, well, he as far as he was concerned, that God go ahead and destroy him. They needed to be. But the king come down and took off his robe and his royalty and put sackcloth and ashes upon him. Even to the beast was done that way. And they repented, and God spared them. And it made Jonah angry. And he went up there, and the Lord had a gourd to grow up to shelter him from the sun and everything, but the worm come along and cut it down, and he was more concerned about that vine than he was them thousands of people down there. God told him, it doeth you good to be mad. Mm-hmm. But I want you to know, my friend, today, I'm not mad with you. Disappointed with some of them, and some of them my own kin, because they failed to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you fail to call upon him and get forgiveness of your sins, and let the blood of Jesus cleanse you from your unrighteousness. Though your sins be red like crimson, he said they could be made whiter than snow, but it's only by the blood of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. See, God had it in his mind from the very get-go, you might say. He knew Adam was going to do what he done. He knew that all the rest of them was going to do what they done. But he sent Jesus in the fullness of time. He came into this world to die for a lost wretch like me, even before I ever was. We were all born in sin and shaped in iniquity, but that Lamb of God, the Son of the living God, God himself, come on, put on the robe of flesh and came and died for our misery, for our miserable souls, that we didn't have to perish in hell. But my friend, it's up to you. Just like it's up to me and mine, we had to repent. We got to come to the Lord. We got to accept the atoning blood of Jesus Christ for our sins. He cleansed us and make us whole. It's only through his blood, through the door, through the way. Jesus said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the door. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You can't get there no other way, my friend. It's only through Jesus Christ. We Would you turn to him today? Would you begin to give him some of your time? Take time for Jesus and give him some of your time that you so miserably spend for other things? You seeking after something other and you don't know what it is? Try Jesus. Try him. And after you give him a real good try, and if you find that he can't satisfy you and your longing in your soul and everything, you can turn back to the devil. He'll take you back any old time. Any old time you want to get back into the world and obey the God of this world, he'll take you back. Be glad to. But Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." There's no other name given among us where we can be saved but at the name of Jesus. I don't care where you go, where, how far you travel, how many denominations you belong to, or whatever. If you hadn't got the blood of Jesus applied to your sins, these other big-time preachers that come down the road that so many people look to, they can't save you, my friend. Jesus is the one that died for you. None of them other big-time preachers that's on TV and everything and getting all your money and telling you all these here good things. Remember this. There's two sides to every story. I'm telling you to shun the very appearance of evil. Call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Come unto him and he'll give you rest. You can go put your money into all these other things and help them build their mansions on high and whatever. Fly around in their airplanes or ride around in their $300 or $400 suits or their big Cadillacs or whatever they got. And you can help them prosper. But if you ain't got your soul hid in Jesus Christ, you and they liable to wind up in hell with the devil and all of his other people that seek after the riches of this land. My friend, I'm telling you, there's only one way. Jesus said he was the way, the truth, and the life, and you can't get there no other way. It's plain and simple. Don't take my word for it. Read your word. Read the Bible. And you'll find out. Oh, but my friend, today, there's so many people that are teaching you this and teaching you that. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. I'm not after your wealth. I got a father that owns all the hills, and he owns the cattle that's on the hills. He owns it all. And he promised me if I'd be faithful to him that one day that I could enjoy the blessings that he hath laid in store for me. And that's all I'm after. If I gain the whole world and lose my soul, I ain't got nothing. That's right. But if I lose my soul for him and my life for him, I gain it. But if I try to save my life and lose it, I'll be done lost it to that. I can't save my life. Oh, there's many people that are trying it with one thing or another. But I see our time is gone, and we just trust that God will touch your life. If you want to help us, write to us on the address that will be given to you. And may God richly bless you until next week. And shalom, and pray for Israel, because they're going to be the center of the whole thing, whether we like it or not. They are the center. They're chosen by God. Abraham's seed, and we join heirs with Abraham's seed. God bless you until next week.
We pray that we have said something today to point you to Calvary and draw you closer to Jesus. If you feel led of the Lord to help us get this gospel out, make your love gift to Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. And if you want to write to us or send us prayer requests, you may do so at ecompton31@yahoo.com. That's ecompton31. 31@yahoo.com.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace. taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, set free, my God, my Savior.